I got out of that was the number 4, so say it again to me phonetically.
Affirmative, this is kilowatt, Mike 4, Delta Alpha, KM4DA, Willie in Easley, South Carolina.
Hi, William, KM4 Delta Alpha in your mobile.
Yes,
I have you, you're really light, but what the heck? You're in there. Let me see what else I can come up with. CQ, this is KHJOY for the Wednesday night Liberty Net. The lightning crashes are pretty light right now. Over. All righty. Hey, the other night when we were talking, I had that Minneapolis station give you a shout, but you were already gone. I have a request. Either mail me your phone number or can I have your phone number? Well, I'm going to try my best to copy what it is. Over. All righty, I got the exchange and the connector. What's the area code again? What are the first three numbers, your area code? All right, it's really tough to hear. I know it's a 3-something and an 8. What's the middle number? All righty, I got it. Not tonight, but I'm going to give you a jingle just so we can talk on the phone and not strain ourselves on the radio. I'm not going to call tonight, but I will give you a jingle maybe in the next day or two so we can talk on the phone. Alrighty, the mornings it is. Thank you, Mo. I'm going to move on and see if I can find some other contestants. I will do that as soon as it arrives. And as I said, you should get that newspaper in an envelope in a couple of days. And then in about a week, they're going to start sending it to you they mail it on Wednesday, and I usually get it on Friday. So you'll start getting that newspaper. You don't owe me anything. Fortunately, I'm still working, and I thought you would really enjoy it. So that's why I wanted to do it. All righty, let me see who else I have. This is KAHJOY for the Liberty Net.
KO4FE.
Good evening, Mr. Bill. KO4FE, strong signal. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. think I got that antenna problem sorted out. I had a branch that was rubbing against the antenna, and I think I got the problem solved. I moved things around a little bit, so I'm looking here. The SWR is almost flat, so hopefully it'll hold up. I won't have any more problems. So anyway, good to hear you, and thanks for running the net tonight, Bob. KAA-JOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
All righty. I know those trees creep up on your antenna. I actually paid a tree trimmer to come and climb the one tree. I have a sugar maple, I think they call it, and it was just encroaching on my wire. So I had them cut the branches back so that it wasn't touching them when the wind was blowing. Let me see who else is here. CQ, CQ, this is KAJOY for the Great Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so let me open the door and we'll check again. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974. Founded by the late Victor Mythic, W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the Great Liberty Net. I'm going to open with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And as I read the Pledge of Allegiance, I did not put a t-shirt on my head that said, athlete, I don't know, some kind of a protester. I don't know what that t-shirt said, but it was kind of stupid from the Olympics. But let me see if I have anybody else before I start. This is KAJOY for the Liberty Net.
The KAAJOY, please check in November 4th, X-ray, Yankee Charlie, John in Tennessee.
John in Tennessee. I think it's fun when it comes up. You're in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I'm just south of Cleveland, Ohio. So thank you, John.
And 4ROQ check in.
Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. Good to hear you, sir.
Sounds good.
All righty. Well, I'm going to start out with kind of an interesting article. It is from The Blaze. This is how we know the world has gone crazy. On Sunday, a 27-year-old Cataluna Enriquez, a biological male, beat out 21 female contestants to be crowned Miss Nevada. Really? Enriquez will now move to the Miss USA pageant. With a victory there, Enriquez would become only the second transgender contestant ever to compete for the Miss Universe title. During the competition, Enriquez wore a homemade rainbow-colored gown to celebrate Pride Month. Thank you, Jesus, that June is almost over with. And, quote, honor all of those who didn't get a chance to spread their colors that are LGBTQ, unquote. The news outlet boasted that by winning the pageant crown, Enriquez is redefining what it means to be a woman. It's not a woman, anyhow, and what it means to be beautiful. She boasts that she is a brown individual, but if you look at its picture, it is biracial by all counts. The transition started at 14 years of age. Now, I'm telling you, I can't imagine at 14 thinking to have my pee-pee cut off, let alone by having it sliced and made into a JJ. But that's apparently what we've done. And it's like it's so exciting. We made a male Miss USA, Miss Nevada. I'm shaking my head. I read the article. And to listen to it talk, it's like, oh, this is the best thing in the world. Sodom and Gomorrah had nothing on our country at the moment. With that being said, I'm going to go to Bill in South Carolina, Kilo Mike 4 Delta Alpha. Open the door. You are just above my noise level. It's kind of poor. Alrighty, sir. Thank you for joining us. Maybe when we get to round number two, the signals will be better. But appreciate you being with us tonight. With that being said, I'll clear with KM4DA. And I'll run out to Mr. Moe in Nebraska, KD0RSA, KAHJOY. What do you have to say, Mr. Moe? As of tomorrow, in the state of Virginia, if you accidentally let a helium balloon go, you'll be charged with a misdemeanor for letting a helium birthday balloon go. We are going crazy, over. Alrighty, let me clear with Mr. Moe, KD0RSA, KAJOY. Mr. Bill, I'm sure you're shaking your head. KO4FE, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY and the Liberty Net. This is KO4FE. Yeah, Bob, I was going to cover that story on that transgender. You know, this, I'll tell you what, this country's toast. It's just one thing after another. It's just like living in a lunatic asylum. Anyway, we got another. I mean, these stories just never stop. But anyway, I try to add variety. And I don't want to get too much on one issue. So I'm going to add a little diversity here. So first one has to do with energy. And we got a headline here on Gateway Pundit. Headline, clown show, Biden Secretary of Energy blames climate change for contributing to Florida condo collapse. It says, starts out, what a complete clown show. Biden Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm suggested that climate change played a role in the Florida condominium collapse last week. And she's running U.S. energy policy. This explains why gas prices have doubled since Biden took over. Secretary Granholm said, obviously, we don't know fully, but we do know that the seas are rising. We know that we're losing inches and inches of beaches, not just in Florida, but all around. The condominium collapse in Florida resulted in 12 confirmed cases and 149 people still missing. But, yeah, it's climate change. Everything's climate change or racism, and sometimes it's both. You know, I was watching the reports on the heat wave out west, and that was, I think that was the last thing I saw on TV before I went to bed. But anyway, I ended up having a horrible nightmare. I was out west in this nightmare watching television, oddly enough, and global warming, of course, was having a full effect out there, and I saw where they showed a report on the news in this dream where the temperature in Portland, Oregon had gone up to 140 degrees, and it panned the streets, and there was just littered. The streets were just covered with Antifa protesters, all dead from heat exhaustion, heat stroke, dehydration, because there was no water. Then it showed a shot in San Francisco at the Golden Gate Bridge, and they were having Category 5 hurricanes just blasting in. About every 4 or 5 days, they showed a weather radar picture, and it's just Category 5 hurricanes lined up across the Pacific Ocean as far as you could, almost all the way to Japan, all lined up, neatly sequenced so that they would land about every 4 or 5 days, just hammering San Francisco at like 180 mile an hour winds, and the storm tide was so bad, the scene at Golden Gate Bridge was just horrendous. There was just leftist professors, drug addicts, transgenders, communist flags, gay flags. They were just all being washed out in the ocean. It was so thick it looked like you could walk over it. It was just terrible. And then they showed a scene down on the southern border, and of course due to climate change, the desert area down there had gotten so big it was like the Sahara Desert. And it was just littered with millions, as far as the eye could see, of parched skeletons of illegal aliens that tried to make the trip against the best warnings, but, you know, they were coming up here. Somebody promised them welfare, I guess, and they just couldn't make it. So anyway, this Sahara Desert-sized area down on the southern border was just littered with millions of skeletons of illegal aliens that just couldn't make it. So anyway, that's climate change. That's what may be coming. That was just a horrible nightmare. I mean, could you imagine it? I mean, anyone would see that and just be horrified. The Antifa activists dead by the thousands from heat exhaustion and strokes and dying of thirst. All the homeless people, liberal Marxist professors, all the liberal activists being washed out on the storm tide past the Golden Gate Bridge, and just literally millions as far as the eye could see. It was like I guess they had a helicopter there showing a shot of the southern border, just as far as you could see, just skeletons of illegal aliens. It was really something to see. I woke up, I was just horrified. But anyway, here's another gateway pundit. Listen to this. Billionaire BET founder wants $14 trillion in black reparations, and he wants them now. BET founder Bob Johnson called for $14.7 trillion in reparations for 42 million African Americans back in June last year. Johnson's plan will offer $350,767 one-time cash payment to every African American in the U.S. today who are descendants of slaves. So he argued during the pandemic, now's the time to go big for his $14 trillion plan. He says it'll be a big leap to solve the problems in today's black community. Johnson added that the $14 trillion will come from redistribution. Wealth transfer is exactly what's needed. Yeah, well, where's that money going to come from? I don't think there's that much money in circulation. It doesn't matter. He don't care. He figures they'll just tax the billionaires or tax white people to get the $14 trillion to pay off the blacks. I guess that he figures that'll make them happy. Another Gateway Pundit story. This is KO4FE headline, outrageous. here's a look at the shocking white privilege gender equity lesson plans used to indoctrinate your kids. It says parents may not be able to vet or opt out of the social justice ideologically skewed educational regime being taught nationwide in K-12 classrooms. But thousands of lesson plans designed to instill students with a gender-fluid, racist, anti-American ideology are available for review at TeachersPayTeachers.com, a site allowing teachers to sell and share educational programs. According to the Teachers Pay Teachers website, TPT is the go-to place for over 85% of U.S. educators to find teacher-created, teacher-tested classroom resources, and has grown to reach over 5 million educators. The site contains 5,500 lesson plans to nurture students on the tenets of Black Lives Matter, 3,700 on critical race theory, 166 on white privilege, and dozens of gender equity lesson plans. And you go down here and look at some of these. Now, here's one here. It's got four squares. It's got a white girl and a white boy, and they're both crying, and it says sad. Then below that, it's got a white girl and a brown boy, and it says love. And then in the next one, it has a white boy and a black girl, and it says happy. So there you go. White boy, white girl, that's bad. That's no good. And then the brown boy and the white girl, well, that's love. And then the white boy and the black girl, well, that's happy. So why would you want to be sad? You'd want to be happy, won't you? I mean, that's the kind of crap they're teaching in the schools. Now, here's another lesson plan. It's called Pink is for Boys. Yeah. It's going to, let me see, what's it say about that one? It's got a couple of kids up there painting Pink is for Boys. And then there's another one. Let's see, what's it got? Oh, I don't know. The Woke Classroom, and it's got a rainbow-colored hand. Oh, this is just wonderful stuff. You know, I'm glad we got these Marxist teachers in there, you know, teaching the boys to like pink. This is written by some character by the name of Rob Perlman. It says pink is for boys. Yeah, that's what we want. And then we got to teach them that it's bad for a white girl and a white boy to be together. That's sad. And it's only when there are white girls with a brown boy that there's love, and then a white boy and a black girl, that's happy. So who wouldn't want to be and want love and happiness? It's better than being sad. So, you know, you got can't have sad. So anyway, that's about it, Bob, but I got more. So anyway, back to you. KAHJOY Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, we are doing our best to teach our young people to be brown. Every commercial either has gays, lesbians, or mixed families in every commercial. Over.
Yeah, Roger. That's obvious. I've even had people that mentioned that to me who aren't even, you know, big on politics, and even they notice it. I mean, it's every damn commercial.
Every damn commercial is a true statement. I just sit there and tell my spouse, I won't say what I say, but I just shake my head. And then Wee TV and All Black TV is nothing about Atlanta hip-hop, growing up, all these different reality and drama shows about the blacks is amazing. I turn the TV off.
Yeah, Roger. Well, you know, eventually nobody's going to want to watch TV because it's nothing but hardcore leftist propaganda.
It truly is. Thank you. All righty, at KO4FE, KJY. Let me go to John in Cleveland, Tennessee. November 4, X-ray, Yankee Charlie. Good evening, Mr. John. What say you?
Yeah, good evening, Bob, and everyone on the net. I'm hearing most of the amateurs out there quite well tonight, even though I'm having some noise, but it's not too bad. I don't have anything to read, but I've just sat here thinking about a term that I'm familiar with called cultural Marxism, and basically, you know, that's what they're playing against the American people is cultural Marxism. And Italian communist named Antonio Gramsci, they kind of came up with a theory that you couldn't get the workers to overthrow a country, so you had to attack the country with critical theory, okay, critical theory. And what it was is what that critical means is the critical of every foundation, every pillar of a family, church, education, everything. And that's cultural Marxism. And they're attacking America like it's a big oak tree, but they have to attack the roots. They have to attack the roots, and that's what they're doing. But I see that America is beginning to turn the corner a little bit, because I believe they played their hand. They played everything they've got. They found everything they've got at the United States of America, and the American people are beginning to wake up and turn the corner. So happy 4th of July, everybody, from Tennessee. November 4, X-ray Yankee Charlie.
Yeah, John, your thoughts are good. And yes, I've been watching Newsmax and Fox, and there's been even Democratic House of Representatives and Senators that seem to be set up with where we're going. Over.
Yeah, I believe we're beginning to turn the corner, because what else can they throw at us? They've thrown everything at us they got, and everything that the Frankfurt School at Columbia University, they've got their full plan in play with the Frankfurt School. There were a couple of communists up there in the mid-60s by the name of Francis Fox Piven and a Professor Cloward. And so that's where the Cloward-Piven strategy comes from, to open up the border and to swamp all of the resources of the federal government by opening the border up. That's the Fox-Piven Cloward strategy, and then the cultural Marxism. So if you'll get on YouTube, which I don't care for YouTube, but there's still a lot on there about cultural Marxism, and then you can learn exactly what I'm talking about.
All righty, thank you. I will take a look at that. I appreciate you being with us tonight, and adding your comments. KNXYC, thank you. I'm going to clear with you and go down to Mr. Larry, who is also in Tennessee. He is in Knoxville. N4ROQ, good evening, Mr. Larry. How are you, and what do you got to say?
Hey, good to hear everyone in there. Good to hear you down there, John. Bob and everyone else there. Sounding fine. Band seems to be pretty good. Hey, the big news that I just ran into a few minutes ago for me was about China. Guess what the Chinese are up to? They're building 100 new ballistic missile silos in the western part of China. 100. I thought these are good, peace-loving people there. 100 ballistic missile silos, new ones. Plus what they've already got. So, these people are expanding, 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 so you just never know about them. But you do know about them. They're ready to take over the world, looks like. There's a custom information on this new, these liberal Democrats are wanting to teach all this LGBTV crap. And one of the teachers, through her mother and her dad, were telling me that, I can't remember whether this state was Georgia or Ohio, but they live in Florida. But this is her daughter, and the daughter said that this is what the liberals have in mind for this new year, starting off in school, regarding teaching the kids around the 5-year-old kids. They say, you know, you can be anything you want to be. They've got all kinds of different books that they give them to read. If you want to be a woman, you can be a woman. If you want to be a man, you can be a man. Just tell your dad, and, you know, he'll have it fixed up for you. And they're bringing these kids up this way. Also, they've got special rooms in these schools called masturbating rooms. You know, you can just go in there and masturbate and just do whenever you want to. And just help yourself, and you know, this is good and masturbating at school. Now, this is what the liberals are teaching these, are got in plans to teach these kids starting out. So, it's big, big trouble in the U.S. with these socialist Democrats. You don't think they're wackos. They are completely wacko people. Okay. I got another article or two here regarding, let's see, which one I want to get to. Let's just talk about the gas. Getting gasoline to stations gets trickier for companies. There's plenty of gasoline this summer. But getting it to the gas station may be a different story, just as the summer driving season is kicking in after a year in which most families were stuck at home. There have been reports of some gas pumps running out of fuel for short periods. The problem is a shortage of tanker truck drivers to transport the fuel from storage terminals to the station. We have enough gas, it's just issue of getting the gas where it needs to go, said Kimberly Swin, spokeswoman for Ohio AAA. She said she expects there could be problems throughout the summer. It's spotty, it's going to be temporary, Swin says. Spot shortages have popped up in several places, including the Florida Keys, Central Iowa, Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, according to the Oil Price Information Service. So far, it hasn't been a big problem, says Tom Calaza, global head of energy analysis for the service. When gasoline consumption plummeted a year ago, the economy was largely shut down because of COVID-19. Tankers were parked, and many drivers retired and went to work elsewhere. Now that demand for fuel is returning, there's a need for more drivers to keep stations fully supplied, she said. What's important is for motorists not to panic and fill up before they normally would. What's important is to get some drivers out there and get these things going. Okay, let's see. I think I'll stop it right there, and hopefully you'll get some more check-ins there. Bob up there, and everyone sounds good on the net tonight. And thanks for running it. KA8J Wilson and 4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee.
Thank you, Larry. When they tell you not to panic and don't fill up any sooner, let's face it, you're going to go, huh, I'm going to make sure that I fill up my tank when I'm not even that low, because you don't know where the fuel's going to be. And when you run out and there's no gasoline, it's kind of a worthless motor vehicle, over.
That's right.
And, you know, there's a good possibility that these liberal Democrats are kind of don't care whether they get enough drivers or not, because they're wanting to sell us these electric, a bunch of crap anyway, these electric vehicles. And if they can kind of hurt your opinion of all the gas and the vehicles, maybe they'll say, you wouldn't have all these problems if you had these electric vehicles. You know, all you'd have to do is plug it into electricity. Of course, they're telling a lot of people now, don't plug in certain times of the day and all. It costs you a fortune now, as you know, to keep these things charged up and electricity costs. And I mean, it's just a mess. And I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't put anything past these liberal socialists. So back to you, Bob.
Well, I can tell you for a fact, it is expensive to keep the car charged. And look, you mentioned it. Look, it's in California. They're telling people to not charge during the day. You have to wait till nighttime because they're having a problem with electricity. My Tesla took 32 amps at 240 volts for 3.5 hours. But I turned it down to 28 amps at 240 volts for 4 hours. But that's way more than my air conditioning used. And my air conditioning would come on and go off. And come on and go off. The car was constant. So it's basically a way to control Americans. Because you're limited on how far you can travel. A gasoline car, I could just keep on stopping and putting gas in it. I could go from New Jersey to California. The electric car, I got to find a place to charge it. If there's a Tesla charger that takes 20 minutes, I have to stop every 180 miles to put 20 minutes of electricity. It's wrong. It really is wrong. Let me see if I have any other late check-ins. This is KEHJOY for the the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I've got another article from the Blaze. A female is dead after a shootout with police at the Juneteenth parade. Officer appears overwrought with grief after the shooting. So the article says that Juneteenth parade was marred by a death of a female from Michigan on Saturday. A 19-year-old woman was killed during a shootout with police in Flint. The Flint police, now again, aren't we celebrating, or wasn't that their day? Oh my God, we've got a day for the African American. Unfortunately, we had a president that was half black, and he was in office for 8 years. He didn't do anything about Juneteenth. In fact, on June 19th in 2016, he was giving a speech and was making a joke about Juneteenth. A Flint Police Department officer was working a traffic point during the Juneteenth Champions Parade in Michigan and got into a confrontation with the driver of a silver car around 2 p.m. on Saturday. Witnesses sitting in a nearby vehicle who captured video of the unsettling situation appeared to say that the driver fired the first shot. The officer draws his gun and instructs the driver to put their hands up. Noted that the officer screams, "Let me see your hands, hands up." Suddenly, multiple shots are fired. After the shots are fired, the vehicle slowly rolls down the street. Video shows the police officer that fired the shots immediately falls to his knees. "I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that." He appears to be overwrought with grief as he holds his face in his hands. Another officer attempts to console him, but it is so emotional that he slumps to the pavement. At one point, he is face down on the wet road. "I've never shot and killed someone. If I do, it's going to be sad. However, you're still going to stand your ground in the event there's other shooters." The Detroit News shared an alleged video from the shooting that was taken from a cell phone screen and posted on Facebook. The person who uploaded the footage claimed the driver of the car shot first. "This car pulled up shooting first from inside the car with the window still up, which is what caused the police to shoot her." pretty interesting. So we're at a parade for Juneteenth, and we've got to have a shootout. That's all we do. But they want to take the weapons from UND that have to protect ourselves. Pretty sad. Back up to the list, I'm going to go to Bill in Easley, South Carolina. Hopefully the band will be a little bit better. KF4, Delta Alpha, Mr. William, over. I don't hear anything. Does anybody hear Mr. William in South Carolina?
Negative.
All righty, thank you. How about Mr. Mo? KD0 RSA, Mr. Bowen, back to you. About was drones. Those little aircraft are called drones. Over. Not a problem. In fact, I'm studying for my Federal Aviation Administration drone test. It's called Part 107. When I'm done with this, it'll make me damn near a private pilot. I'm amazed how difficult the study guide is for this drone, but thank you, Mr. Mo. KD0RSA, I will look forward to that in the U.S. mail. Next, I'm going to go back to Mr. Bill in Pennsylvania, KO4FE. I'm sure you've got something else good for us, KA8JOY.
Okay, KA8JOY. And the Liberty Net, this is KO4FE. Well, Bob, you know, it never stops. As I said before, here we got another one, and I don't know how many people eat out at very often. I do occasionally, but you better start watching out for this. This is from the Foundation for Economic Education. It's headline, it says, restaurants are now adding equity charges to customers' checks to fight oppression. And the article starts out, it said, "Where should we eat tomorrow?" my wife asked excitedly as we sat on our deck Friday evening. Broder's, I answered without hesitation. Located in southwest Minneapolis, Broder's Pasta Bar is a local gem. It has a great outdoor patio and the best Italian cuisine in the Twin Cities. We had not eaten there since the pandemic began. My wife nodded and started to make a reservation on her phone. Then her jaw dropped. You're not going to like this, she said. She was right. On its website, Broder's had a notice to customers notifying them of a new 15% benefits and equity charge they've instituted. They justified the charge first by explaining that many states have allowed reduced minimum wages for service staff in the form of a tip credit. The restaurant's second justification is that many tippers are racist and sexist, according to an uncited research source. Studies have shown there is inequity, built-in bias in the way customers give tips, the statement reads. In general, black or brown servers receive less tips than Caucasian servers. There is a gender bias as well. The final statement, final part of the statement says the new policy stems from wider racial injustice and is not a substitute for gratuity. So they expect you to tip on top of this, on top of the 15% that they're slapping on your bill. To begin with, it says, in the wake of racial injustice protests and the closure due to COVID, now is the time for Broder's to reimagine its economics and provide fair pay across the company, the statement reads. Well, why don't you just pay them more? You know, well, why don't they just pay more instead of slapping this on the customers? So, I mean, it would eventually get to the customers, but this is just kind of like a way they can virtue signal. But anyway, it says, our benefits and equity charge is applied entirely to employee compensation. This supplement helps us set a $16 minimum hourly wage for customer-facing employees, $18 minimum wage for kitchen employees. All together, this allows everyone in our company to earn a real living wage. The 15% benefits and equity charge is not a gratuity. Well, again, I have to ask, why don't you just pay $16 an hour or $18 an hour, as the case may be, instead of adding it on to the customer's bill? Well, anyway, the article says, first, it's true that many states allow tipped employees to make less than the minimum wage. However, Minnesota is not one of those states. So there's a lot blatant lie right there. It says, second, I'm no Robert Irvine, but telling your customers you're going to begin charging them more because they are too bigoted to tip fairly might not be a winning restaurant strategy. Just saying. As a former restaurant worker, I pride myself on being a generous and fair tipper. And the implication that I can't be trusted with this responsibility doesn't sit well with me. It says, firstly, if Broder's doesn't feel restaurant workers in the back are earning enough money, there's a solution to that. Pay them more. This action doesn't require any surcharge or public lectures on systematic oppression. Out of curiosity, I looked around to see if other restaurants were adding such similar charges. I quickly found one. Pizzeria Toro, a North Carolina restaurant, recently announced that it was introducing a 20% living wage fee. The pizzeria's owner, Gray Brooks, said this is the equitable thing to do. In order for the bottom to rise up, the top has to come down a little bit. Well, the top can just not go to your damn restaurant, or you could just pay more to begin with. Focusing on equity tends to place labor and business at odds, implying that workers are being exploited and deprived of their fair share. This idea that the employer-employee relationship is inherently exploitive is grounded in Marxism and has been effectively refuted by economics. The mindset taps into resentment and class struggle. Well, of course, that's what they're trying to stir up. two pillars of socialism and teaches people to see the world through the lens of oppression and conflict. To be sure, in a new twist, restaurants appear to be trying to pass this alleged exploitation on to customers, perhaps to placate disgruntled workers and maybe to tap into social justice currents. This doesn't make the ideas less harmful. So yeah, the liberals can go all to these places and pay the extra 15%. Okay, here's this, oh God. Here's a headline, Gateway Pundit. Washington Post publishes article endorsing exposing children to quote-unquote kink. Listen to this nonsense, this degenerate nonsense. The Washington Post is accused of supporting grooming and pedophilia after publishing a twisted op-ed endorsing exposing very young children to so-called kink. The author, Lauren Rowello, who says she uses they/them pronouns and is a former sex worker, discussed exposing her children to men in thongs flogging each other. In an op-ed titled, "Yes, Kink Belongs at Pride and I Want My Kids to See It," Rowella wrote that her wife is trans. I feel sorry for these kids. That her wife is trans and that they brought their children to a pride parade in Philadelphia. When our children grew tired of marching, we plopped onto a nearby curb. Just as we got settled, our elementary schooler pointed in the direction of oncoming floats, raising an eyebrow at a bare-chested man in dark sunglasses whose black suspenders clipped onto a leather thong. The man paused to be spanked playfully by a partner with a flog. "What are they doing?" my curious kid asked as our toddler cheered them on. Oh, this is wonderful. The pair was the first of a few dozen kinksters who danced down the street laughing together as they twirled their whips and batons, some leading companions by leashes. At the time, my children were too young to understand the nuance of the situation, but I told them the truth. That these folks were members of our community celebrating who they are and what they like to do. Rowella went on to complain about people who want to remove the open public kink from pride by citing the fact that children are exposed to it. She says, "I agree that pride should be a welcoming space for children and teens, but policing how others show up doesn't protect or uplift young people," the author wrote. "Instead, homogenizing self-expression at pride will do more harm to our children than good. When my own children caught glimpses of kink culture, they got to see what the queer community encompasses, so many more non-traditional ways of being, living, and loving." The Washington Post article went on to whine that people do not talk to their children about kink enough. Listen to this statement. It says, "We don't talk to our children enough about pursuing sex to fulfill carnal needs that delight and captivate us in the moment. Sharing the language of kink culture with young children provides them with valuable information about safe sex practices, such as the importance of establishing boundaries, safe words and signals, affirming the importance of planning and research, and the need to seek and give enthusiastic consent," she wrote. "I never want my children to worry that exploiting any aspect of consensual sex or touch is too taboo." Yeah, that's what we got from the Washington Post. Naturally, the author was met with outrage from normal people who do not want young people being groomed, and then they give a list of Twitter posts. One guy posted a video of a damn, a wood chipper. Okay, here's another more on the damn transgender. It's everywhere you look. Listen to this. They can't even leave classic TV alone. Breitbart, Hollywood reimagining classic TV sitcoms like Brady Bunch with drag queen makeovers. You know, this country is done. I can't help it. I'm just, this is insanity. This is, we live in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we all know what happens there. But anyway, I'm not going to read this article, but anyway, what they're doing is taking old TV shows and redoing them, except they're putting drag queens in them. They got a picture of one of these nutcases. Oh, jeez, I was. Yeah, drag queen comedies, they're putting it on Paramount. Oh, Jesus. This is just unbelievable. Anyway, I can't even read it. This stuff just makes me sick. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-A-J-O-Y, Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, K-H-O-Y. Hey, when you were talking about your nightmare, all I could think about when you said about all the Antifas laying on the pavement, I'm thinking that's not a nightmare. I've got a dream.
Yeah, I got a dream. Yeah, that's a good title for that nightmare.
Wow. This transgender stuff is just off the charts. My spouse and I went to Palm Springs, California a couple of years ago during Pride Week, which I didn't realize it was Pride Week. And two gays were going down the street, and they both had their hands in the other one's pants holding on to each other's crank. And I just stood there and looked at them, and they looked at me, and I said, you know, normal people hold hands. So where does that put you? And my wife kind of pulling on me. She goes, what if they have a gun? I said, I have a gun also. I'll shoot them both. But, yeah, they were holding on to each other's crank. That was really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's probably considered normal out there.
That must be what kink is, right?
Yeah, they probably, like, looked at you and thought, what's this guy, from Mars or something?
Yep. How amazing. Alrighty, sir, KO4FE, K2I. Let me jump to Cleveland, Tennessee. John has got to be shaking his head. N4XYZ, K8KY. XYZ, are you listening? KHOI.
Where'd you go, John? Are you in there? Your turn, John.
Do you hear John, Barry?
No, no, you must. I must walk out of the room there for a minute.
All right, I'll come back to him. That puts me back to you, sir. N4ROQ, KHOI.
Okay, let's see. I got some stuff out of USA Today here. Arizona election audit enters new phase. This was Sunday's paper. For Phoenix, Arizona, technology consultants hired by Arizona Senate Republicans to investigate the 2020 election have finished counting and photographing nearly 2.1 million ballots from Maricopa County. The final report of the findings is still weeks to months away, said Ken Bennett, a former Republican Secretary of State working on the effort. But the milestone marks an end to the most visible portion of the unprecedented election audit, which saw teams of people recruited by supporters of former President Donald Trump working through dozens of pallets of ballots on the floor of their former basketball arena. The GOP-led Senate ordered the audit after Trump backers claimed without evidence that fraud led to his loss in Arizona and other battleground states. The Republican-dominated Maricopa County Board of
supervisor has repeatedly said the election was fair and free of any problems. President Joe Biden narrowly won Arizona. The longtime Republican stronghold has been steadily moving toward the center. To lead the audit, GOP, the Senate President Karen Fan hired Cyber Ninjas, a Florida cybersecurity firm with no election or auditing experience before the 2020 election. They also announced who is paying for the audit, but several fundraising groups tied to Trump supporters claim to have collected millions of dollars in donations. Fan has said that the audit is not meant to overturn the election, but rather to see whether laws need improvement and instill confidence in elections. So hopefully, I'd be very interested in seeing how that turns out there, if they were able to do anything with those ballots. Millions of 2.1 million ballots were sent in. Classified UK papers found at bus stop. Nation in the World, USA Today, comes from London. Sensitive documents containing details about the British military have been found at a bus stop in England. The BBC reported Sunday. The papers included plans for a possible UK military presence in Afghanistan, as well as discussion about the potential Russian reaction to the British warship HMS Defenders traveled through waters off the Crimean coast last week, the BBC said. The broadcaster said a member of the public who wanted to remain unnamed called when they found a pile of documents, about 50 pages in all, in a soggy heap Tuesday behind a bus stop in Kent, southeast of London. The Minister of Defense said an employee had reported the loss of the documents last week in 4LQ. It did not provide details about the incident or confirm the documents were found at a bus stop. The Ministry of Defense was informed last week of an incident with sensitive defense papers were recovered by a member of the public, it said in a statement. The department takes the security of information extremely seriously. An investigation has been launched. It would be inappropriate to comment further. John Headley, or Healy, H-E-A-L-E-Y, the defense spokesman for the opposition Labor Party, said the incident was both embarrassing and worrying. Ministers must be able to confirm to the public that national security has not been undermined, he said. So, unusual article. Let's see. Here's a good one on general security in Afghanistan is ebbing. This comes from USA Today, from Kabul, Afghanistan. The top U.S. general in Afghanistan on Tuesday, looks like it's U.S. Army General Austin S. Miller, said the rapid loss of districts around Afghanistan to the Taliban, several with significant strategic value, is worrisome. The country's deteriorating security situation as America winds down its so-called forever war. General Austin S. Miller said the rapid loss of districts around the country to the Taliban, several with significant strategic value, is worrisome. He also cautioned that the militias deployed to help the beleaguered national security forces could lead the country into civil war. Miller told a small group of reporters in the Afghan capital that for now he has the weapons and capability to aid Afghanistan's national defense and security forces. What I don't want to do is speculate what the support looks like in the future, he said. Washington signed a peace deal with the Taliban in February 2020 that laid out the promise of U.S. withdrawal and commitments by the Taliban to ensure Afghanistan does not harbor terrorists that can attack the United States. The details of those commitments have never been made to the public. The Taliban has accused Washington of breaking the agreement, which called for all troops to be out by May 1, the date the final withdrawal began. The U.S. officials have said the Taliban have made some progress. It's not clear whether the insurgent group has kept its end of the deal. The insurgent group issued orders against allowing foreign fighters among their ranks, but evidence continues to surface that non-Afghans are on the battlefield. Bill Miller was insistent that only a political solution would bring peace to the war-tortured nation. In a political settlement that brings peace to Afghanistan, it's not just the last 20 years, it's really the last 42 years. Miller was referring to not only the U.S. war, but that of Russia's 10-year occupation that ended in 1989. That conflict was followed by a brutal civil war fought by some of the same Afghan leaders deploying militias against the Taliban. The civil war gave rise to the Taliban, who took power in 1996. American officials have said the entire pullout of U.S. troops will most likely be completely finished by July the 4th, but Miller refused to give any date or time frame, referring only to the September 11th timeline given to by President Joe Biden in April when he announced the final withdrawal of the remaining 2,500 to 3,500 American troops. Meanwhile, the Taliban has been overrunning districts in rapid succession, many of them in the north of the country, which is dominated by Afghanistan minorities. The north is also a strategic stronghold of many foreign Mujahideen leaders who have been a dominant force in Afghanistan since driving the Taliban from the power in 2001 together with a U.S.-led coalition in 402. Several of the districts have been on key roads and on the border with northern Tajikistan. The Taliban have issued statements saying hundreds of Afghan security forces have surrendered, most of them going to their homes after being recorded on video receiving transportation money from the Taliban. So it looks like the Taliban is going to be right back in the saddle here pretty soon. So, not a good situation. The Chinese with 100-year ballistic missiles is not a good situation either. So if you guys need to Google that, they've got pictures of them and where they're going to be and on the internet. So, anyway, back to you, Bob. K-88-J-O-Y from M4-O-Q, Liberty Net.
I'm sure those Chinese silos are aimed towards the United States of America, over.
I don't know who else they'd be aimed at. They, we've made a multi-zillionaire there and built the military up so much. With all these liberals running off all of our factories, with all this clean air, all this crap that needs to tax the factories more and all this stuff, well, they just packed up and went to Mexico and China and sending their stuff back over here and making China rich. So anything that the liberal socialists do is damaging. And just look at all the crap that they've done, through the years. This is just one of them. We built China up into a power that's looks like it's way beyond our capability at this time. So back to you, Bob, and for
Whiskey Zero Mike Papa.
Hey, Whiskey Zero Mike Papa. Let me check you in there, young man. Minnesota Mike, good to hear you. I was just going to yell out for any late check-ins. We are a net, and we don't have cornhole. So what do you got to say, Mr. Mike? Whiskey Zero Mike Papa, KJY.
Okay, I don't know if you'd still be here. I was
Bobby took over. I do go to a baseball game tonight. My daughter's baseball game, and I'm not going to miss that for ham radio. But Bobby was very, very accommodating and took over until I got there, which was great. And I finished up, and I knew you had left about the time I got in. And I wasn't sure how late delivery got to end. But I wanted to get in here and say good evening and join in the best I could into the minutes here. I won't corner anyone. That's all I got here, Bobby. Did I just call you Bobby? Oh boy, I've been talking to Bobby too long. Robert, that's all I got here. Back to you, W0MP.
Alrighty, well, I put you on the list. I'm going to check for any additional check-ins, and then we're going to go through the list one more time. So, if you have a few moments, ride along with us.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ride along here, listen to what everyone has to say, and I'll comment where appropriate, or I won't comment at all if I don't have anything to talk. Right along,
W0MP. Alrighty, sir. To those that are listening, that is Minnesota Mike. He is in the state of Minnesota, and he is not near the troublesome area. And I know him. He's from another organization down the band. So let me call out one more time for any late check-ins. This is KAHJOY for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so let me kick off the 73 round. My last article is from Newsmax. The title is Crime is the Enemy, Not Law and Order. It is by Pat Buchanan. On Tuesday, Brooklyn Borough President and former police captain Eric Adams took the lead in the New York mayoral race with a 32% of the Democratic Party vote. Aya Wiley, who had the endorsement of Republican Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she is in therapy, by the way, guys. She's in therapy for the insurrection of which she was not on Capitol Hill. I don't know how that crazy bitch bartender got in, but she did. How did Adams beat the elite, said the New York Times. Adams built an old-school political coalition that united black and Latina voters and was able to pursue working-class people, largely outside of Manhattan, that he was the best candidate to make the city safe from crime. Adams' anti-crime and pro-cop campaign carried four of New York City's five boroughs, including Ocasio-Cortez's congressional district of Queens. He lost only Manhattan, though under the ranked voted system New York uses, his victory may not be confirmed for a week. Wednesday, President Sleepy Sloppy Joe Biden went, that didn't say in the article, President Sippy Cup Joe Biden went before a White House podium to outline his program for dealing with the plague of shootings, killings, and murders that have marked and marred the 5 months of his presidency. What does all this tell us? Law and order, the issue that arose in the 1960s to tear apart President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal coalition is back. And the emotional anti-cop wave after the George Floyd killing in Minneapolis a year ago manifests in the defund police demand of Black Lives Matter has receded. America is saying we don't want rogue cops, but we do want more cops in our neighborhoods and our communities to stop the shootings that are terrorizing, wounding, maiming, and killing us. Driven by the publicized surge in shootings and killings in American City, the issue is gained and is led into by the 1960s. A mass shooting is a term used for a crime where four or more people are shot, excluding the shooter. By the definition, mass shootings have become a common occurrence in America, with a count of some 300 thus far in 2021. Let me read that again. Where four or more people are shot, there's been over 300 in 2021, and we're only 6 months into this year. Before the 1960s, perhaps the most notorious mass shooting was still the 1929 St. Valentine's Day Massacre, where seven enemies of Al Capone were lined up against a wall in Chicago garage and executed. Last weekend, 52 people were shot in Chicago. This weekend, 63 were shot. Seven were fatally wounded. Monday preceded seven more shooting deaths. Biden recognized the political danger. He is old enough to recall what the law and order issue did to his party in 1968. That year, George Wallace, running on a third-party candidate, took 13% of the presidential vote. 4 years later, in 1972, the year Biden was elected a senator, remember, he's been in the government for like 48 years. What has he done? The Alabama governor was a front runner for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination when he was shot by a would-be assassin in Maryland. The Democratic nominee that year, Senator George McGovern, a man of progressive left, lost 49 states to President Richard Nixon. Senator Joe Biden helped to write the crime bill of 1994, which made liberals now fault for contributing to a massive increase of incarceration. But today, as President Biden is facing a similar and serious crime crisis and cannot be unaware of his political potential. The Democratic Party's dilemma, its progressive wing believes defunding and reimagining police work to protect people of color from abuse or rogue cops is first priority. Eric Adams, vote in liberal New York, however, suggests that a higher priority for blacks and Hispanics is public safety and disarming and removing of armed thugs and street gangs. In the shooting galleries, the same inner city neighborhoods have become, defunding the police amounts to social insanity. Nowhere says Bill Bratton, former New York Police Commissioner, do you see recognition that there are some people who cause incredible harm to the community and who unfortunately need to go to jail. In the early 1960s, like today, the elite and other major media declared law and order to be a code word for racism. It is not a code word for racism. So that's pretty much the article. Basically, this gentleman who is a former police captain is running for the mayoral race. You need somebody like Giuliani back in that city because it is a mess. All righty. Well, I think Mr. Williams in South Carolina, let me see if he's with us. Kilo Mike 4, Delta Alpha. Mr. Williams, are you still here? Nothing heard. Mr. Moe, KD0RSA for the 73 round. What are your final thoughts, Mr. Moe?
KD0RSA, well, excuse me, fellas, and I would like to have more forums. And what the government is doing, and less about these queers, that would be my suggestion. But it sounded like
well, I have to be honest, Mo, I haven't heard the results of the Arkansas deal. Again, it was not a recount, it was an audit to see if they were counting properly. Somebody that's kind of close in Arkansas might be Minnesota Mike. Michael, have you heard anything about the ending of this Arkansas audit?
Honestly, this is the first I've heard of it. I wasn't aware there wasn't an audit going on, so it's the first I've heard of it. Go ahead.
All right, the audit's been going on for quite a while, but other states have looked into it, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia. They're just trying to see how the election really was stolen, but seeing how it was done. Mr. Moe, I don't know the answer to that. I will try to Google that and find that for you by Saturday, over.
I'd appreciate it very much. Don't put yourself out.
Seventy-three, Mr. Moe. Hang around to the end of the net. Next is Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KJY. What are your final thoughts, Bill?
Okay, KJY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. Okay, first off, Bob, thanks for running the net in case I forget to mention it, and I'm glad we had the check-ins coming in. And once again, I probably sound like a broken record, but I gotta say, get an amp. That's the only way to do it on this band. So anyway, here's one, and this is an example of liberals trying to punish somebody, and they're actually doing them a favor. Headline off the Daily Mail, California bans state-funded travel to 5 more so-called bigoted states, Florida, Arkansas, Montana, North Dakota, and West Virginia, in protest over so-called anti-LGBT laws. Ban now stretches to 17 states. California's banned state-funded travel to 5 more states, including Florida, because of their so-called anti-LGBT laws. Democratic Attorney General Rob Bonta added Florida, Arkansas, Montana, North Dakota, and West Virginia to the list that now has 17 states where state employee travel is forbidden except under limited circumstances. I think these states would probably be happy. I'm surprised they're not fighting to get on this list. I mean, I think it would be comfort to the citizens of these states to know that they're not going to be getting any California commies coming into their state. So I think California's actually doing the people in all these states a favor, because they won't have to worry about you always have it, but it would be less degenerate coming from California. But anyway, says, make no mistake, we're in the midst of an unprecedented wave of bigotry and discrimination in this country, and the state of California is not going to support it, Bonta said. Lawmakers in 2016 banned non-essential travel to states with laws that discriminate against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. 12 other states on the list are Texas, Alabama, Idaho, Iowa, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Kentucky, North Carolina, Kansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Uh-oh, Larry, you ain't going to be getting any California government employees coming to Tennessee. I'm sure that makes everybody down there sad. Says the 5 states newly added to the list have introduced bills in their legislatures this year to prevent transgender women and girls from participating in school sports consistent with their gender identity, block access to health care, allow the discrimination of the LGBTQ community, Bonta said. Florida, Montana, Arkansas, and West Virginia passed laws that prevent transgender women and girls from participating in school sports consistent with their gender identity. North Dakota signed into law a bill allowing a certain publicly funded student organization to restrict LGBTQ students from joining without losing funding. Arkansas passed the first law in the nation to prohibit physicians from providing so-called gender-affirming health care to transgender minors, regardless of the wishes of the parents or whether a physician deems such care to be medically necessary. Bonta says these lawmakers would rather demonize trans youth than focus on solving real issues like, of course, tackling gun violence, beating back this pandemic, and rebuilding our economy. You know, it had caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting them to bring guns into it, but I guess these liberals got one-track minds. Everything's got to be gun control, racism, or something to do with these transgender. Alright, here's another one. This is also from the Daily Mail. Listen to this. Christian musician who tells his daughters to cover up in Modest as Hottest song is blasted for promoting so-called purity culture and teaching girls they are just sex objects that exist for the pleasure of men. I don't know how dressing in reasonable clothes is, turns them into sex objects. I'm sure these same people would probably, that are complaining about this, would probably approve of that, what you saw out in California, or if they ever, or if the guy was dressing his teenage daughters up in high heels, mini skirts, and low-cut shirts where their boobs were practically falling out, they'd think that was great. But if you tell them to dress in reasonable clothes, then you're promoting purity culture. Well, anyway, I'm going to read this. It's all the essentials are in the headlines. But anyway, the liberals don't like this. That's terrible. Teach young girls to dress in reasonable clothes and not be showing off their bodies or trying to be sexual. Probably if they were twerking, these idiots would think that would be good. But they don't want young girls dressing in... I mean, it's not like they're dressed up like Amish. I mean, they dress in just normal clothes, but that's bad, according to these degenerates. So anyway, Bob, thanks for running that. 73's everyone. Glad to hear the check-ins. I hope we get more Saturday. So anyway, back to you. KAA-JOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
All righty, Bill. Thank you. Yeah, you can't make them happy. I mean, you know, women would dress nicely. They do dress to attract the interest, you know, but now you're a pig if you say you look nice. You don't know whether to call her he, she, or it. You're right. Sodom and Gomorrah has nothing on us right now. Let me see if John in Cleveland, Tennessee is still with us. November 4, X-ray, Yankee and a Charlie. Mr. John, are you listening? Nothing heard, Mr. Larry. N4ROQ, what do you have for your final thoughts, Mr. Larry?
Okay, thank you again for running the net. Don't hear Justin here, I think you're okay. So, here's another article I found in today's USA Today. Gas prices rise again. No sign of letting up. These liberals are talking it to us. U.S. economy rapidly recovering from the 15-month-long coronavirus pandemic. Demand for fuel is rising and pushing prices to levels not seen. I think the demand is as loose as it. I don't think so. After a brief dip, gas prices in the U.S. are on the rise again. The U.S. average price for a gallon of gasoline rose 2.5 cents from last week to $3.09 per gallon. And this 309 is for this pure crap ethanol, 10% that you get or more in your screw up your vehicle. Lower gas mileage. The 93 octane is the way to go. It's a lot better gas, it's a lot higher. They're talking to us here on this cheap ethanol laced gas that really a lot less gas mileage and a lot less gas is not that good. Still high price. The national average is now almost 5 cents higher than a month ago and 92 cents higher than it was this time last year. Gas Buddy Petroleum Analysis, Patrick DeHaan says Americans should expect to pay even more at the pump heading into the 4th of July, a particular road trip holiday. So the U.S. economy rapidly recovering from the 15-month-long coronavirus pandemic. Demand for fuel is rising and pushing prices to levels not seen since 2014. And hurricane season always carries the prospect of higher prices if a storm impacts oil drilling and refining on the Gulf Coast. Motorists should prepare to dig deeper for the second half of the summer. Unfortunately, DeHaan said, this month the Energy Information Administration predicted gasoline would average $2.92 a gallon for the April-September summer driving season, up from $2.07 a gallon for the same period last year. Now, Trump has very energy efficient Didn't have to look to other countries for gas. We were the number one gas and oil producing country in the world. And I can't say that for Biden. He's screwed with everything possible to mess us up in on the petroleum end. The gas frontier there. So moving on to the article, for the full year, the EIA estimates regular gasoline will average $2.77 a gallon, and U.S. households will spend $570 more on fuel than it did a year ago. Almost $600 more, they're estimating, than they did last year for the same amount of gas. For consumers, higher gasoline prices are one element of an inflationary mix they're encountering as the economy recovers from the pandemic. Rising prices for commodities and materials have boosted prices for such items as lumber, diapers, and meat and poultry. The Federal Reserve has expected many of these increases to be temporary in an appearance before a House subcommittee last week. Fed Chair Jerome Powell cited the pass-through of past increases of oil prices to consumer energy prices as one factor behind the increase in inflation. Oil prices for some commodities have reversed direction recently. Oil has held its gains for the most part. On Monday, the West Texas Intermediate Rare Crude fell $1.14 to $72.91 per barrel, but the price is still 50% on the year, up 50% on the year. Bad news for us in the gas situation. Automated vehicles makers ordered to report crashes. This comes from Detroit, business section of USA Today. The U.S. government's Highway Safety Agency has ordered automakers to report any crashes involving fully autonomous vehicles or partially automated driver assist systems. The move, Tuesday, by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration indicates the agency is taking a tougher stance on automated vehicle safety than in the past. It has been reluctant to issue any regulations of the new technology for fear of hampering adoption of the potential life-saving technology in Florida. Okay. The order requires vehicle and equipment manufacturers and operators to report crashes on public roads involving fully autonomous vehicles or those in which driver assist systems were operating immediately forward during the crash. By mandating crash reporting, the agency will have access to critical data that will help quickly identify safety issues that emerge in these automated systems. NHTSA Acting Administrator Stephen Cliff said in a statement, the agency says it will look for more potential safety defects in the information picked up to send a crash investigation team or open a defect investigation. The order comes after NHTSA has dispatched investigation teams up to 31 crashes involving partially automated driver assist systems since June of 2015. Here we go now, 31 so far, probably of death crashes involving these automated driver assist systems. Such systems can keep a vehicle centered in its lane and safe distance from vehicles in front of it. Of those crashes, 25 involve Tesla's autopilot system, in which 10 deaths were reported, according to the data released by the agency. So there's the Tesla name again. No, this is my last article, Bob, and you might have already heard about these three Honolulu officers face charges and shooting. This teen was killed by police during a traffic stop. Comes from Honolulu. Three Honolulu police officers appeared in court on Friday to face charges in connection with the fatal shooting of a 16-year-old Micronesia boy. The first cases of their kind against law enforcement in the city in more than 40 years. The officers were not asked to enter pleas during the hearing when they were officially informed of the charges that they faced. The April the 5th shooting killed Armenia Skype Camp, as spelled last name is spelled S-Y-K-A-T, who police and prosecutors have said was driving, now listen to this, he was driving a stolen car, and it was linked to an armed robbery, and it was linked to a burglary, purse snatching, and car theft. SICAP led officers on a chase immediately before the shooting. Here they are chasing them now. Authorities have said Officer Jeffrey H.L. Thom fired 10 rounds at SICAP through the rear window of the Honda using a 9mm Glock semi-automatic firearm. Prosecutors said that 5-year Police Department veteran fired the shots without provocation after the car came to a stop at an intersection, according to court documents. Thom was charged with one count of second-degree murder. If convicted, he faces a minimum sentence of 20 years because of the kind of gun used in the shooting. We can ask Bob what kind of gun makes a difference. Fellow officers Zachary R. Nee and Christopher Fred Lucies, who also opened fire, are charged with second-degree attempted murder. Prosecutors filed the charges after a grand jury declined to indict the three officers. Attorneys for the three officers said in a statement that it is clear that most in our community believe that filing these charges after an independent grand jury rejected them is concerning, to say the very least. The statement added, while we recognize the tragedy of this situation, we as their attorneys will do all that we can to prevent wrongful conviction in this case. The officers, who each wore blue Aloha shirts, didn't speak in court. A judge scheduled a preliminary hearing for July the 20th. Interim Police Chief Ray Vasek said in a statement, we continue to trust the judicial system, and we ask for everyone's patience as this case makes its way through the courts. Hundreds gathered outside the plaza in front of the downtown courthouse to show their support for the officers. That's great. Many wore t-shirts saying support our officers and chanted, free the three. Brandon Wolf joined along with about 80 fellow members of the Longshoremen Brotherhood Community Service Group. They're not murderers and they are heroes, because what they did was they stopped these criminals who were on an active crime spree, he said. Wolf said he was troubled that the officers were being made into the bad guys and rejected the notion that they are racist. We know, because we live in these communities, how much of an asset they are to us. We know what they do. They protect us. They serve us daily, he said. So, concerned about all these lawsuits and about all these criminals can get out there and steal vehicles and rob and shoot people and everything else. And then when an officer enforces the law, then they're in trouble for years and possibly in jail. So back to you, Bob. And the Great Liberty Now, KAAJY from N4ROQ.
Thank you, Larry, N4ROQ. Well, I will respond to that. So this individual was on a crime spree, and in Ohio, you can use deadly force to stop someone that the risk of them continuing to cause serious physical harm or deadly or death is intimate. So with him running and his crime spree, but again, you're making it so people are not going to act, and then when the person continues and does more damage to other life, then the public will say, why didn't they do something? Well, that's why. You're constantly trying to outthink how this is going to play out. Over.
I say, well, enough. They need to stop all these ridiculous lawsuits. I know that George Floyd and his family was awarded way up in here. I don't know, I'm pretty sure it was in the millions of dollars. Don't have that in front of me, but here was a guy on PCP and all every other some other stuff also. Wouldn't get in the vehicle, scuffle with the officers, and you know the rest. So this officer's received 20-something years in jail, in prison, in the George Floyd deal. And if we don't stand behind our officers, then we have no law enforcement. We have no, we're just not going to have any people that's going to stand up for us anymore. They're just going to let them go, let the criminals go. And you can't blame them, because every time you try to enforce the law, then they say, well, you're racist, or you're doing this and you're doing that, and we're going to sue you for millions or put you in jail for the end of your lifetime. So back to you, Bob, in Florida.
Well, the number you were looking for was 27 million. And yes, everything you do, especially as a white man, is racist. You cannot do anything that's not racist. It's really sad. I want to say thank you to Paul for recording the Liberty Net. Paul, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are because you're recording, thank you, sir. And last on my list is Minnesota Mike. Whiskey Zero Mike Papa. The band was pretty good down the way. It kind of was crappy from about 7 till 9. At about 9:30, it improved after Bobby took over. And I heard you check in at 10, but I had to come up the band. So, Mr. Mike, what are your thoughts to close the door for us? I guess Mr. Mike finally, he didn't stick around. I'm sorry for that. So with that being said, do I have anybody that would like to make a last comment before I close the door to the Wednesday Night Liberty Net?
How about a check-in?
Go ahead.
Yeah, please check in K4NC at Kilo 4, November Charlie Uniform. Mike, located in Gaston County, North Carolina. Over.
Hello, Mr. Michael. Well, I'm at the bottom of the list. Do you have any final thoughts before I close the door?
No, sir. I was just listening to everything, and I agree with you guys most definitely. So I'll let you go ahead and get the net closed there. But do appreciate you checking me in. Okay, morning. See you.
All right, Michael. We'll try to join us Wednesdays and Saturdays. 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we'd be happy to have you. So K4NCU, KJOI. So with that being said, as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to Silent Key, W1 WCR, Mr. Victor, W9 FAM, Mr. Vern, KE8 INE, Behind Enemy Lines, Mr. Jim, KN4 CF, Robert, N3 GVA, Mike, Whiskey 2, Whiskey Charlie, Whiskey Frank, W8 MPB, RV, K4 GAR, Harrison, KB2 DYB, Dennis, KE2 LE, LO, Eugene, and K-I-2-J, Mike. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country. Please, dear Lord, bless our, or watch over our leaders, even though they're doing a terrible job. Give them some guidance. They really need it. With that being said, good night. 73, this is K-A-J-O-I.